Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuning in to Wellness and Faith with Sherry Weary, where we question, explore, love, support, encourage, and make spiritual wellness a priority. So get ready to exercise your faith.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Wellness and Faith with Sherry Weary. I'm your host and excited that you decided to join me tonight as we make spiritual wellness a priority. So tonight we're going to be discussing our hashtag moment, and the hashtag for the month of March is I Am. We'll continue our series with discussing miracles of Jesus that are found in the New Testament during our To Believe or Not to Believe segment. And we'll continue with our segment, Let's Be Real, where I'll be making a confession tonight, which that I have felt alone. And we'll go into our main discussion of finding your identity in God. And then we'll end the show with the dose of spiritual wellness and give final greetings. Remember that you can interact with me before, during, and even after the show on social media with the various hashtags, I Am, Let's Be Real, Wellness or Faith, or any other hashtag that you feel is relevant to our discussion on this evening. Just remember you can tag me at Weary Consult, and you can do that on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. You are also welcome to call into the show if you have any questions or comments. You can call in live by dialing 347-850-1154. And if you need that number again, you can go to the show website at blogtalkradio.com/RS Wellness. And you can see the number posted there as well as in the slideshow on the radio show page. So let's go right into our hashtag moment. The hashtag moment is a point in the show where I discuss a topic that is related to my monthly blog, and we post on social media with that particular hashtag. I'm a guest contributor for the RS Counseling and Wellness Center blog, which can be found at radiantsunshine.org. My two latest blogs, I Am and What Are You Feeding Your Soul, were recently published, so you want to go check that out, as well as the other blogs that you will see that as well. So once again, the hashtag for the month of April is I Am. So feel free to post on social media with that hashtag and tag me at Weary Consult. So our discussion. In order to be spiritually well, you must know who you are, and you must be able to say to yourself that I am enough. So the cons of actually not being content with who you are as you are is that you are constantly at the whim of everyone else that is around you. You are constantly unstable when it comes to your outlook and your perspective about how well you are doing and where you are going and your progress and how much how far you've come. And so you're constantly in a state of being discontent when you don't see yourself as being enough. Now, with looking at yourself as enough, it doesn't mean that we ignore the areas that we still need to grow in. It also doesn't mean that we have this misconception of who we are and we see ourselves as absolutely perfect when that's not the truth. But at the same time, we also don't want to look at ourselves as never being enough or look at ourselves that we have never made a success or we're never doing well and we always have some far outreach goal that we have to go after. And when you depend on other people in order to determine if you are enough, then you live in the place of being a people pleaser, and other people's opinions of you will constantly change. What's okay today may not be okay tomorrow, and what's not okay today may be okay tomorrow. So, you know, when you're depending on other people to determine how enough you are or to determine if you're doing great or if you're doing well, it's not really the great place to be in because, again, people's opinions will definitely change. And depending on the mood for that day, someone who may be in love with, you know, your corny jokes, if they're having a bad day, you know, they're not going to be too happy about your corny jokes, and they may say something that will really hurt your feeling. And, of course, that's a really small example, but it's an example that is also very real and that also can be part of a bigger issue. You know, for instance, if we want to talk about something more deeper, let's say if your self-image is dependent on how people are looking at you, you know, if you're depending on someone else's definition of beauty to define how beautiful you are and to define your standard, then that's going to be a problem as well. No matter how skinny or big you are, or if you have curves or if you don't, if you rock natural hair, if you wear, you know, weave, no matter what you do or how you look, if you like to wear makeup, if you don't, for guys, you know, let's say you like to wear suits, or for those of you who do not, or, you know, if you're on the heavier side, and for those of you who may be really skinny, at the end of the day, you want to be content and you want to be happy with who you are as you are, even as you go and you try to make progress. So let's say if your goal is losing weight, and I can tell you that I've recently gone through this. You know, 2 months ago I decided to, you know, go on this journey of becoming healthier. But even in having this goal in mind, the one thing that I wanted to be very conscious about is still being happy and looking at myself as still being a beautiful, wonderful person, even though I knew I had this health goal where I wanted to lose some of the weight that I had gained. And so I encourage all of you out there as well that even when you have these goals that you put out to become more healthier, whether it's physically or emotionally, mentally or spiritually, you want to also recognize who you are and celebrate who you are at that very moment, even as you try to progress and to become more healthier for whatever goals that you're setting out for yourself. And so the benefits of being content with who you are, the benefits of saying I am enough, is that it gives you a more positive outlook on life. It gives you a more positive outlook on who you are, and it also strengthens you in order to continue to move towards other goals in your life. If you see yourself as enough, that means that you're more likely to see yourself as successful. You're more likely to see yourself as capable. You're more likely to see yourself as able to do whatever it is that is before you. You're able to see yourself as having the capacity to overcome challenges and to overcome obstacles and to continue to move forward towards the goals that you have, even when there may be something that happens unexpected. And so practical application of living out this belief of knowing that you are enough, and use the same one from last week, is that having a positive affirmation that you recite to yourself on a regular basis, even every day, even multiple times a day, is to look yourself in the mirror and say, I am enough. Even if you make a mistake, even if there's something that goes wrong, is to be honest about your responsibility in whatever happened that did not go right, but then also say that I am enough and that I am enough to have the capacity to find a solution to this issue. I am enough in that I am human and that, of course, mistakes are going to occur, but I'm not defined by the mistake. I'm not defined by what went wrong, that I am still enough and I am more than capable of moving forward. So in conclusion, when it comes to our spiritual wellness, we can't afford to not be content with who we are as we are. God created every single one of us to be different. He created every single one of us with a unique set of skills and talents and abilities and also experiences that the world needs. And so the world needs you exactly who you are. The world needs your uniqueness. The world needs what sets you apart and what makes you different from everyone else. We don't need a replica of anyone else that already exists. We need you as you are, and we need you to be confident and to be able to boldly state and to declare, I am enough. So our next segment, To Believe or Not to Believe, this is a point in the show where I strongly encourage you to call in to interact with me live. If you would like to interact with me live, you can call 347-850-1154, and you can join the discussion that we're going to have regarding the miracle of the New Testament, where Jesus actually called Simon Peter and those that were with him to be the disciples, and also prior to that, them catching a ton of fish. So, again, feel free to call in live and interact with me online as well with the hashtags I am, wellness and faith, to believe or not to believe, and to tag me at Weary Consult. Go right into our discussion of to believe or not to believe regarding the miracle of Jesus allowing Simon Peter and his partners to catch a ton of fish, even after they had been out there so long and didn't catch anything at all. This account can actually be found in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And so in this particular story, the main players we have is Jesus. We also have the multitude of people that Jesus is teaching there at the lake, and we have Simon Peter, and then we also have James and John, who were the sons of Zebedee. So at the point that this is actually occurring, we see that Simon Peter and James and John had all been out, you know, all night, and they didn't catch anything. And so at this point, you know, Jesus actually walks up. He decides he's going to go ahead and he's going to give a message, you know, to the multitude that is gathered there, and he gets in one of the boats and he begins teaching. And while Jesus is giving, you know, this lesson, James and John and also Simon Peter, they begin cleaning their nets, and they just figure like, hey, you know, we didn't catch anything tonight. We'll go ahead and we'll try again later. So at this point, though, once Jesus gets done teaching, he goes to them, and he actually tells them to cast out their nets and go try again. And so Simon Peter lets them know that, hey, you know, we already tried. We didn't catch anything. You know, it's just not going to be good. But still, Jesus admonishes Simon Peter to go out again and to go and to cast their nets. And what's so awesome in that moment is that even though Simon Peter had already had the experience of failure, he had already had the experience of being out there putting all this hard work in and not catching anything. In the midst of that failure, Simon Peter decided to go and to listen to the command of Jesus and to go back out and to try again in the same exact place that he had failed. So just a quick question before we continue with what happened is that what is Jesus calling you back out to? What places is he telling you to go back to where you have experienced failure? What is he telling you to go back and to try again? What are you afraid of in going back to the same place where people have even witnessed your failure? I mean, the likelihood that there were other people out there who saw James and John, who saw Simon Peter, you know, out there trying to catch some fish and then see them to come back to shore and to not have anything at all. What experiences or embarrassments have you had in the midst of people that now you're afraid to go back and try again? Well, let's look and see what happens with Simon Peter with listening. Will they go out? And as soon as they cast on their nets, there is such an abundance of fish that they have to call out to other people to come and get help because their boat actually began to sink because they were getting too many fish in their boat. So here it is just moments before they were cleaning their nets because they didn't catch anything at all, not even just one fish. And just in a matter of moments, with just listening to Jesus and say, go and try again, now they have too much that they have to call others to come and to help them reel in the catch that they had received. And what's so amazing in that moment is that just they went from a place of not enough, a place of lacking, a place of frustration, to a place of abundance where now others were blessed by them going back to the same place of failure and disappointment, and now other people are blessed by the abundance because they went and they tried again. And so after they're getting the fish and they're, you know, reaping everything that they had gotten back, you know, Jesus goes and he talks to them and he lets them know that, hey, you're a fisher of, you know, now you're a fisherman, but I want to make you a fisherman of men. And so what's so awesome is that Jesus uses what they did in the natural in order to now use those same talents and skills to do something in the spiritual. And so instead of, you know, just catching fish in order for sustenance and to make a living and to take care of themselves and, you know, their families, now they're going to go and they're going to be catching them in the sense that they're going to be preaching the gospel of Jesus. They're going to go and they're going to be talking to people in order for people to now have be spiritually fed and for them to, you know, experience the redeeming work, you know, and the awesome knowledge of knowing who God is. And so with this particular testament, I wholeheartedly believe that this really occurred. You know, I definitely believe that Simon Peter and James and John, that they caught a ton of fish after obeying Jesus' command. And, you know, once again, I just find it really interesting just how in a moment's time they went from a moment, a point of lacking to now having a moment of more than enough, of having too much, rather. And so I just really admonish everyone that's listening is to not be afraid to go back to the place of failure, to not be afraid to go back to the place where you were lacking, where there wasn't any fruit that were coming from the hard work that you were putting in. If Jesus says to go back and to try again, definitely trust him and believe that there is abundance. There is a harvest that's going to come forth that is not only going to be a blessing to you, but it's going to be a blessing to those around you. So the question to you is, what about you? Do you believe? Have you chosen to believe or have you chosen not to believe? Again, you can call into the show live or you can post on social media and remember to tag me at Weary Consult. And you can do that on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. So our next section that we are going to now is titled Let's Be Real. So this is a point in the show where I make a weekly confession, and I'm transparent and open about my mistakes and shortcomings, and I'm also very honest about the progress I've made as well. The purpose of this segment is to provide an example of what I believe we need more of from people of faith, people being real. So let's get to it. Let's be real. So my confession on this week is that there are times that I have felt alone, despite the assurance of God's word that says that he will never leave us alone. And so the times I have felt alone have been in the most difficult times in your life. And it's different if you're having a good day and, you know, you want to hang out but nobody's available. You'll just be sitting at home bored, right? But it's different when you're going through various challenges in your life when, you know, either you're experiencing a sickness or family member sickness or you've lost someone that's very dear to you or you're having difficulties within your families with relationships or, you know, you're having a difficult time at work, you know, or you started a business and things are just not going the way that they should have. And so you're frustrated because just it doesn't seem like things are really working out and you want the support and you want someone to be able to understand and no one is there to be able to do that for you. And so I can tell you, like, for instance, you know, for me, back in 2012, I had hurt my back and I was injured on my job. And as a result of that, I actually had to resign from my job, even though I had recently received a promotion. And I was so frustrated in this moment when I had to resign because I didn't understand why. At the moment that I had my hard work was finally paying off and that I had received a promotion for my job, why is it that I would fall and hurt my back and now have to give it all away? And it was hard because I was in pain each and every single day. And it was so hard to do the most basic things, you know, just getting up and trying to iron my clothes or fix something to eat or even, you know, to get dressed. It's just the smallest task took so much energy and I was in so much pain. And because I was in so much pain where it was very difficult for me to walk and to get around, I actually spent like 90% of my days like just laying in my bed in the house. The only time that I would leave would be to go to doctor's appointments, and then when I had the procedures as well, is to go on to have those surgeries. And so during that time of being here in the house, in pain, losing a job, you know, that I had to resign from because I didn't have the capacity physically to be able to carry it out any longer because of my injury, I really felt alone in those moments. I felt abandoned by God because I just didn't understand why he would reward my hard work and my diligence with now losing everything completely. And so, you know, I would pray and I would cry and, you know, just things just were not happening the way that I thought they would. And during that process, you know, I had to put in a workers' comp claim and, you know, had some challenges with that where the workers' comp claim was even initially denied, so I had to go to court. So here it is, all these things that are happening where it's just challenge after challenge after challenge. And this is all, like, what I felt like was a reward to my hard work, you know. And so as it, you know, for the months that I endured that, it was about 6 or 7 months that I was in that state, you know, with not being able to do for myself, you know, very easily, with constantly being in pain, not sleeping, and that's torture, you know, because I'm a person that really appreciates getting rest. And so just not being able to even sleep well because of the different medications, the pain medicines I was on that, you know, disrupted my sleep, is that I just felt just so alone and abandoned. I felt that God was torturing me and I didn't understand why. And, you know, it's different when you go through different situations or you go through consequences because you made a bad decision, but it's another thing when you're going through and you know that it's not because of something you've done wrong. And then in this particular circumstance, during this time in my life, I knew that this wasn't because the result is something I did wrong. But at the same token, I also didn't understand the purpose in it as well. And so fast forward several months later, you know, when I actually received my healing, which was an awesome experience within itself, is that I finally understood why I was going through what I was going through. And I saw how God actually used that situation to even to grow me and to give me another level of compassion. You know, because although I've had, you know, family members and close friends who have been ill and very sick, it's one thing when you experience it for yourself. You know, it's one thing when, you know, let's say you want to just get up and go and, you know, bathe yourself and iron your clothes and you have to lay in the bed for another hour because you're in so much pain. It's one thing when, you know, you want to go to church and you want to hear a word from your pastor and you want to be surrounded, you know, by your fellow church members in order to be encouraged. And it takes you, you know, 20, 30 minutes just to make a 2-minute walk. You know, it's another thing when, you know, the choir is up singing and you want to get up and clap your hands and you're crying in pain because you can't even stand in a moment. And there's others who don't even see that. It's others that don't even understand the pain that you're in, and they make crude comments or, you know, they make jokes where they're not trying to hurt your feelings, but it ends up hurting your feelings because they don't understand the pain and what you're going through. And so going through that experience, it definitely gave me a deeper level of compassion for those who experience illness and those who are sick and are able to do for themselves. The other awesome thing that came out of those moments as well is that I learned more about the character of God. I learned more about who Jesus is and how all things really do work together for good. You know, if you listen to the show, if you listen to the couple of episodes, you'll probably hear me say that, you know, at least once every episode. Romans 8 and 28 is my very favorite scripture, and it's because I've seen it work out in my life. I've really seen God take the crazy, painful, frustrating, confusing situations and to make me better as a result. And so in this situation, it gave me an opportunity, like I said, to learn more about who God is and how he's not just this person out there to get the joy out of seeing us suffer. It's that there's purpose. There's purpose in everything that we go through, even when we don't understand and even when it's very difficult to even comprehend in that moment. And so once I received my healing, I was able to witness and to tell my story about how God had healed me to, I promise you, over 100 people just in the course of a month. Because with several months, you know, with being in that state and being on a cane and being scheduled to have hip surgery, and I was really young. I was only 28 years old when this occurred. And so with living in a small town, you know, people get to know who you are. They recognize you. So, you know the person's in the post office and the grocery store and, you know, when you're going to get your oil changed. And so now when I was walking around without the cane, people were asking what was going to happen or what had happened and why my cane was now gone, and I was able to tell them why. And so I've chosen to still continue to trust God despite those moments of feeling lonely, despite those moments of feeling abandoned, because I've learned that God really does care, and I have also learned that I can still trust God even when I can't necessarily feel him in the way that I want to feel him, when I don't see him doing the things that I feel he should do. A few years ago, I remember my pastor, you know, at my local church preaching this message that was titled, "Can You Trust God When You Can't Trace Him?" And in those moments of loneliness, the loneliness comes because you feel, I know for me, the loneliness came because I felt so abandoned. I felt that God really wasn't there in the way that I needed him to be there. But the one thing I can say is that after that experience, it taught me more of what it means to trust God, even when you're not experiencing in the way that you're familiar with, when you're not having those encounters that, you know, are really building you up, where you feel the presence of God so strongly, and when you're not getting the answers that you feel you should get in the time frame that you should get the answers, is that that's what caused loneliness for me. I wasn't getting the answers from God when I was praying. I wasn't feeling, you know, his presence like I felt, you know, on other occasions and what I was familiar with, and I was in a lot of pain, you know. And so I've learned to trust God even in those hard, difficult places, and I've seen God's hand just move so mightily in my life. And so for me, like, I've chosen to still believe. You know, even when you look at the scriptures, Deuteronomy 31 and 6, and Hebrews 13 and 5, it mentions how God will never leave you or forsake you. And I like the NIV version where it says that he will never leave you or fail you. And so even in the midst of moments that we think are failure, God is not failing. God is still in complete control. Even in our moments of loneliness, God's word still stands true, and he is still there. You know, even when you look at John 14, 26, and John 15, 26, and also John 16 and 7, it talks about how God and Jesus sent the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, he was sent in order to teach us, to bring memory of the teachings of God, and that he is the Spirit of truth, and that the Holy Spirit, he will testify of Jesus, and that the Holy Spirit, he is the promise of God. And so when you look at even the time that Jesus spent with the disciples, when he first started talking about how the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, was going to come once he left, is that Jesus made the plans to make sure that there was provision. Even though he would no longer physically be there on earth with the disciples each and every day, he let them know that there was already a plan for them to be covered and to be taken care of. And it's the same thing that God does with us as well, is that the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, is available to also be there for us, to teach us, to comfort us in our times of need, even when we feel lonely, to be there to provide us what we need, and to also speak truth into our lives, and to speak the truth of victory, to speak the truth of healing, to speak the truth of being an overcomer, to speak the truth that we are never truly alone. So, what about you? That is my confession for this week, and definitely encourage you to call into the show and to give times about when you felt lonely, you know, to speak about the times that you felt abandoned and how you were able to overcome that and what lessons you have learned. And even for those of you to call in where you felt lonely and you don't feel that God has actually been there, you know, this is an open forum where we, you know, welcome people to come and to speak from various experiences on, you know, what you're going through, and everyone doesn't have the same experience. The only thing that I say is that we're calling in is that you be mindful of, you know, other people who are listening into the show, and to be respectful, you know, with your viewpoints, even if it does differ from anyone else. But I would love for you to call in. The number to dial in is 347-850-1154, and you'll be connected to the show live, and we'll love to hear your feedback. So at this moment, we're actually going to take a brief pause in the show for our wellness moment from Sharia Farmer. Sharia is the owner and founder of the RS Counseling and Wellness Center. And after we hear this wellness break, I will be back in a moment.
Today's wellness moment is, make sure that you give yourself time in the morning before you start your day with things that will clog your brain. So, for example, don't let the first thing you do in the morning be checking email. When you get to work, yes, that's totally different. But when you first get up out of the bed, maybe spend some time with your family, laugh, eat breakfast together. Do something that is not about clogging your day with all the things that will be about worry, or filling your day with things that will make you start to not take care of yourself, and or feel that your day is not going to be well. So remember, today's wellness moment is more about taking care of yourself when you first get up, making sure that you don't do things like check your email, listen to negative news, read a paper that is going to be all negative news, right? So there is some positive stories in the newspaper. Find one or two to make sure that they're the way you end your morning before you get out into the day. Because believe me, you'll have enough time throughout the day to have negative things enter into your day. So in order to be well, make sure that you give yourself a moment before you dig right into the negative. Enjoy your family, your friends, or even just calm, silent time alone. That way you can be well, and I'll talk to you next week.
So welcome back to Wellness and Faith with Sherry Weary. Remember, you can interact with me online with the various hashtags that we mentioned throughout the show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. If you hear anything during the show that sparks a question or encourages or resonates you, you know, feel free to put up a post or to even call into the show live. So I look forward to hearing from each and every one of you all. So we're going to go ahead into our main discussion, where we're going to talk about finding your identity through God. Throughout the day, we are constantly bombarded with conflicting messages and images about who or what is a perfect man or woman, and you must be able to counteract those messages with the truth of God's word. So there's a couple of scriptures I just want to give, you know, on tonight to encourage you to have a strong foundation of who you are, and a strong identity to be able to counteract the negative images that you may experience throughout the day. So the first thing you want to know is that you are an incredible masterpiece. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And so despite who people say you are, despite, you know, what people may say that you're not good at, what people may say that you need to be, you know, where you need to improve, and they're doing it in a way to be negative. You know, I'm not talking about constructive criticism, but I'm talking about people who only see the negative in you. Nothing is ever good enough. The way to counteract that is to know that you are a masterpiece in God's eyes. He specifically created you because he wanted you to exist in this earth. He wanted your experience to be known to other people. He wanted your message about your life, your talent, and your skill to be made known. And that doesn't mean that you have to be famous. Everyone is not going to have a national platform. However, that doesn't mean that you still don't have an impact. You can have an impact within the people of your neighborhood, with your next-door neighbors, or with your coworkers, or your family members, your children, your spouse. You know, it's that having an impact on those in the world does not mean that you have to have a national platform. But your skill set, your particular experience is needed because it makes the world a better place. And so you want to remember that is that God created you. He's the God of the entire universe. He created the entire universe. And so out of all the choices that he had, out of all the things that he could have came up with, he decided to create you. And he was happy with you. He was happy with having you here on the earth, and he loves you and he cares for you. And so not only did he then create you here to just exist, but he created you to do good things. He created you to have an impact and to do awesome things that not only makes you better, but that also makes the people around you better as well, and to be a reflection of his love here on earth. And he thought about this in advance. You weren't just some last-minute, you know, fly-by-night thought where just like, oh, you know what, I need something else here, you know, in the next 2.2 seconds, let me just throw Sherry Weary out there or let me throw Karen or Michael or Sean, you know, out there, or Donna. It's like, no, like God thought about this. He took the time to think and to have the attention of what he wanted, and he decided that you were the best answer to that desire. So you want to remember that, is that you are a masterpiece. You are a work of art. You are a work of art, the art that God intended to have on earth, and he has you purpose to do awesome and great and wonderful things. So the next thing you want to remember is that you are created in God's likeness. Ephesians 4:22-24 says that you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, but to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on a new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And so when you look at God, God is holy, he's righteous, he's pure, you know, all of these things. And when God decided to create you, he created you in that same image so that you will be a reflection of that as well. So with that, it comes responsibility. That means that, you know, we have to let go of those things that hold us back, the things that do not reflect the righteousness of God and reflect his holiness. It doesn't mean we're going to be perfect. You know, that's just, you know, again, we're not preaching or teaching perfection. What we are teaching is that a strive for perfection. And so in that, we have to be conscious and we have to be honest with ourselves about anything that is in our lives that is preventing us from being more and more like God, that is preventing us from having a pure reflection of who God is. You know, when you even think about a mirror, and if your mirror is dirty, the reflection you're going to see in that mirror is not going to be the best reflection of what is standing before it. You know, so, you know, you have to clean the mirror. You have to get the Windex, and you have to make sure, you know, you get off the stuff that's making it a little blurry or making it a little dirty. And it's the same thing within our lives, is that when we stand before the mirror, is that we want to make sure that what we're seeing back is the purest reflection of God in our lives. And so we have to, every single day, every single moment, take the time to clean off those dirty things, clean off the desires that we have that do not reflect the desires that God wants us to have, to clean off the habits, you know, the way of communicating, the way of loving, the way of, you know, treating our fellow brother and our sister, and to make sure that we are the best reflection of God, because God created us and he loved us so much and he's so enamored with us that he wanted us to be just like him, and that's his constant desire. And so we are created in God's likeness. And I don't know about you, but I think that's pretty awesome. I think that's pretty cool to think that here it is, the God of the universe, who is all powerful, who is all knowing, who is able to do just any and everything because that's just who he is. He decides to create me who, you know, I can't live up to that standard, but he gives me the opportunity to be as close to that standard as possible because he cares that much. So remember that for you as well. The next thing we want to know is that we are spiritually alive. You know, when we're talking about finding our identity in God, we have to be honest about who we are according to God's word. And so in Ephesians 2, chapter 4, verses 5 to chapter 2, verses 4 through 5, it says, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved." And so here it is. This mentions how God loves us and how even before we were even had the opportunity to try to live up to the standard and to live up to the standard of being in God's likeness, is that God sent his son and that God sent his son to die for us because of the mercy and his love that he has for us. And so here it is, God loves us so much that he gives us another opportunity to come out of the spiritually dead places and to now experience the abundant life of God in our spirit. And this is all because of grace. So this is how we have access to salvation. And it's not because we're good enough. It's not because we're perfect. It's not because we have it all together. But it's simply because God loves us so much and because he has mercy towards us as his creation. And so you want to remember that even when you experience, you know, spiritual death in your life, is that you want to know that you have access to live spiritually. You know, even when you experience the death spiritually because of sin, because of, you know, things that you do that is not, you know, lining up with the will of God, is that you have access to grace. You have access to forgiveness. You have access to mercy because God already sent his son Jesus as atonement for that. So we are spiritually alive because of the grace and the love and the mercy that God has for us. The next thing that you want to remember is that you are a citizen of heaven. According to Philippians 3:20, it says, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ." And, you know, right now here, you know, we're going through a political season here in the U.S., and, you know, you have the different candidates who are promoting various agendas. And, you know, one of the things that you'll hear again is that, you know, we need to make America great again, or I am an American and be proud to be an American. And, you know, I definitely believe that, you know, it's nothing wrong with having pride in, you know, whatever nation or in your nationality or, you know, wherever your citizenship is. But we also want to make sure that as Christians that we have it where we're not more proud to be an American than we are proud to be a citizen of heaven. And we want to make sure that we recognize that, is that our citizenship in heaven means more than any other residency that we will have, whether naturally speaking or, you know, wherever we are living or whatever, you know, causes that we may be a part of, is that we want to make sure that our pride ultimately comes from what we have waiting from us according to what God has promised us. And so we are citizens of heaven, and so we should be a reflection of heaven here on earth. And so with that is that our ultimate hope, our assurance, doesn't come from being a citizen of the United States, but it comes from being a citizen of the kingdom of God. Okay, next thing you want to remember when it comes to, you know, having your identity found in God, is that you are God's messenger to the world. Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And so when you look at this, is that God, he created you because he wanted you here. He then created you to be in his image because he wanted you to be a reflection with him. He says that you're a citizen of heaven, says that you're spiritually alive. And now on top of that, God has chosen you to be his witness, to be his messenger to the world. There is a message that God has placed in all of us as Christians, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. But there's also a specific message that each of us has just with our different lives and experiences where we can encourage those around us. We can encourage other people to be able to keep, you know, to keep and not to give up hope when it comes to facing difficult challenges and to have difficult moments in their lives, and knowing that there is hope in Jesus Christ, and knowing there is strength by being in his will. They're strengthening, depending on him, and knowing that God loves us and he cares for us so much. And so we are the ones that's supposed to give that message to the entire world. We are called to give that message to any and everyone that we meet, regardless of who they are and how old they are or how young they are, what they look like or where they come from, or, you know, what their ethnicity or their racial background is that we are called to be God's messenger of love, to be God's messenger of light, to be God's messenger of redemption and of grace and forgiveness. And so we are to reflect that wherever we are, whether it's in the confines of our home, with our spouses, with our children, or, you know, other relatives that we may live in, or, you know, even as we go out to handle our business, you know, we're going to the grocery store, the post office, or, you know, at work, you know, whether we have difficult coworkers who are annoying to work with or have a boss who is not that understanding, or within our faith communities, or, you know, within the organizations that we volunteer with causes that we really and truly care about, you know, or even with, you know, various hobbies or groups that we may be involved in. It reflects our passion. And so at the end of the day, wherever we are, we should be that messenger. And that doesn't mean that you have to always have a scripture or to have the Bible or have a big cross around your neck. Simply by being who you are, by being a person of compassion, by being a person of love, by being a person that is positive, you are reflecting God's message when you do all of that according to the word of God. Is that you don't always need to have a scripture in order to preach the gospel of Jesus. By living out the gospel and, like I said, being an example of his love according to his word and not compromising on the standards that God has put out, you are giving the message that God has meant for you to give. So that is what I have for this evening in regards to finding your identity in God. We're going to go into our last segment of the show, which is our dose of spiritual wellness. So to recap the show, here's your weekly dose of spiritual wellness based off the lessons that we can learn from finding our identity in God. And I'm only going to point out three on this evening. So the first one is that you are a masterpiece and that you have earth. You are worthy, you are valuable, you are important, and you want to remember this because it is so important to know and to base your worth off of something that's not going to change. You know, so many times we'll get involved in relationships with people, whether it's platonic relationships or even romantic relationships, where our dependency will be on that people's opinions of us. And if that person is not in a healthy state themselves, if they're not healthy and stable emotionally, mentally, spiritually, even physically, they can cause their instability to now be reflected on us. And so you don't want to be connected with people too closely who are like that. I'm not saying to never interact with anyone who is not well and who may need some additional assistance in order to get to a place of wellness. But what I am saying is that you want to make sure you're not connected with those type of individuals to the point where now you're no longer well and you now devalue yourself and you no longer see how awesome and how wonderful and how precious that you are. I don't care who you are. I don't care the fact that I've never met you in my life, but I am telling you that you are worthy, that you are valuable, and that you are a masterpiece, and you have to always remember that because God created you for a specific purpose. You are a reflection of him, and you are his work, and God does not fail in anything that he does. The second thing you want to remember is that, again, you are created in the image of greatness. And so if you're created in the image of God who is great, that means that your image is also great as well. And that means that there is greatness within you, that you have the potential to do awesome and wonderful things. You have the potential to make every vision and goal come true that you desire. It may take a lot more work than, you know, maybe other people who have had similar dreams. It may, you know, take you overcoming some obstacles and challenges that other people have not had to overcome. But at the end of the day, you are created in the image of greatness, so you have greatness with that, and it resides inside of you. The last thing that you remember, you are God's messenger. He chose you in order to be his voice here on earth, in order to talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ, the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus. He chose you to share your story of how the gospel has impacted you. And again, you don't need a national platform in order to do this. You can do this with your friends, with your family, with your coworkers, with the random strangers that you meet as you're in the grocery store. It's that know that you are God's messenger. And so by living a life that is pleasing to God by simply reflecting His love and His truth and also reflecting His grace and His mercy, you are giving the message that Jesus has purpose to be proclaimed here in the earth. So I have enjoyed spending this time with you guys on this evening. I look forward to speaking with you on next Monday at 7 p.m. to listen to the show live or to even listen to the replays if you miss a portion of the show. You want to log on to blogtalkradio.com/RSWellness. You can also catch the replays on my website at sherryweary.com. That's SHERRYWHERRY. To keep in contact with me and to find out all things Sherry Weary, you want to go to that same website. Remember that you can connect with me before, during, and even after the show with any of the hashtags that we mentioned on tonight, I am, Wellness and Faith, Let's Be Real, or hashtag moment. And just remember to tag me at Weary Consult, and you can do that on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can also follow me on Periscope as well at Weary Consult. Periodically I do broadcast, so you want to make sure you follow me in order to not miss any of those. Be sure to check out the RF Counseling and Wellness Center blog at radiantsunshine.org. You'll find tons of helpful wellness tips, as well as guest blogs that I do as well. The two latest blogs that I publish was I Am and also Where Do You Feel in Your Soul? So I'd love for you to check those out and let me know what you think. Be sure to tune in tomorrow at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the lunch date. It's the Social Wellness Break with Sharia Farmer, where you will receive tips on having healthy relationships. And lastly, before we close out the show, my first novel, Walking Through the Pain, is now available for pre-order on my website at sherryweary.com. The book will be officially released on my birthday, April 23rd. I'm so excited to be here, and I would love for you to be a part by actually purchasing the book. So you can go ahead to my website at sherryweary.com to place the order. You want to follow the directions after going on the product tab. From there, please allow 2 to 4 weeks for your book to arrive. And I look forward to being in contact with you guys soon. So until we meet again next week, my prayer for you is that you will be well, you will be whole, and that you will be set free.